analysis, I've created this methodology called ideation to transformation. So it's four phases. It's starting with an ideation process, going to a creation process, then implementation, and then transformation is all the goodies that come after implementing the first three phases. But voice activation and understanding the self-mastery and even the conscious voice part of it is basically sitting and working with me through an ideation process where we extract information from their purpose, why they were called to create, why they were called to become a writer, or ultimately what even just led them into wanting to get visible.
Welcome to The Author's Leverage, the podcast where we explore the journeys that await you beyond your book. I'm your host, Parshel Tashi, and in each episode, we connect with best-selling authors, publishing experts, and industry pros to unveil the pathways that enable you to leverage and amplify your book for extraordinary impact and income. Whether you're a seasoned author or just embarking on your authorpreneur adventure, prepare to be inspired. Today, we're joined by a guest who's going to share some invaluable insights with us. But before I introduce them, I want to invite you to download your copy of our ebook and its companion digital workbook. It's called 5 Ways to Get More Bang for Your Book. It's a comprehensive guide to supercharge your author journey, and you can find it below this episode, along with where you can connect with us on social media, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Now, let's dive into today's episode and take a sneak peek into the future of your success as an author. Hello, and welcome. This is The Author's Leverage. I'm so excited. Today's conversation, we're talking about all things PR, media relations, thought leadership, but specifically considering its connection to your voice being activated as an author. What does that even mean? What am I talking about? We're going to dive into that today because I'm telling you, it is the key to your visibility. Your voice is in your book, it's written, and how you activate that further is really going to expound a lot when we talk about leveraging your book and your thought leadership today. So I'm excited to introduce you to Ashley Graham. She's the founder of The Conscious Publicist, a public relations and thought leadership concierge that helps purpose-driven brands share their stories and methodologies with the world. Graham has always had a passion for writing, communication, and storytelling. And after working at traditional PR agencies and in in-house director roles, she wanted to do something more meaningful with her career. So in 2016, she decided to start her entrepreneurial journey that focused on helping conscious brands share their message of mindful leadership, social impact, and purpose. The Conscious Publicist has since become a leading PR firm in the industry, helping its clients share their stories in an authentic, engaging, and impactful way to succeed in today's competitive media landscape. Ashley is known for her authentic and transparent communication approach and ability to connect with people from all walks of life. In addition to running The Conscious Publicist, Ashley is also a writer and a speaker and frequently contributes to various publications, podcasts, and blogs, advocating for purpose-driven brands in a way of living all through the transformative power of storytelling. Ashley, thank you for being here. I'm super excited for this conversation.
Thank you for inviting me to be a part of it. I'm very grateful to be here.
And also just want to congratulate you as well publicly on your engagement and all things love. We just talked that up a little bit before we started recording. Yep. Congrats to you.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited. And as I was telling you, it has been so hard to focus on anything else today. And I'm being introduced into a whole new version of me today. Bringing that energy to today's conversation.
There we go. I love it. Well, let's start off talking a little bit about your journey. So you went from traditional PR to founding The Conscious Publicist. So what inspired that shift, right? Especially towards more conscious and purpose-driven brands.
I want to say that the biggest shift for me was being able to create in the way that I wanted to create. So as most entrepreneurs will empathize, is we start out on our own journeys of being an entrepreneur or starting our own business or creative avenues because we get full creative control on how we want to create, who we want to create for, and where we want to show up. So that ultimately has been the driver and still continues to be the driver to be able to work and create an impact in whatever ways I feel ultimately called to and with the people I feel called to work with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it makes all the difference in the world. It makes it more fulfilling on both ends, right? To be doing really, really solid work that you care about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I know that in particular, you emphasize mindful leadership, you know, social impact. So the concept of like self-mastery, why do you feel like it's crucial to embrace those things?
Yeah. So I'll just give a quick little background. So with the podcast, I am the host of the Conscious Publicist podcast. And there are three underlying tones of what I want to convey through the episodes and aspirationally with who I plan to interview on the podcast when we open up interviews. But there's these underlying tones of self-mastery, voice activation, and the conscious voice. And if we turn that around to thought leaders, or we turn that around to authors or even other podcast hosts or creators in general, we have had to go through a series of identity shifts to become the creators that we were called to become. Mm-hmm. And self-mastery truly is the process of becoming the best possible version of yourself to create in the way that you are meant to create. And I just got goosebumps as I said that. So it means I'm onto something here. But self-mastery is also just a part of us being a human. It's the way that we find bigger connections and greater connections with people, which our relationships are intertwined into every facet of our life. But self-mastery is also the way that we lead ourselves. It's the way that we become more in tune with our thoughts, our actions, our behaviors, our reactions, which again are all applied into every facet of our life. We react, we think, we feel. In our relationships, in our creative endeavors, in our business, and self-mastery is truly at the epitome of all of that. But then when we transition into voice activation and the voice activation, the activation of taking all of our experiences, our lessons, our failures, the things that we learn through our process of self-mastery and talking about them in a public way where we can serve and impact others. And authors, as we know, they take their experiences and they write it in a way, in a written voice, to where they can inspire and impact those who come across their books and come across their voice. But when we transition into the conscious voice and activating that voice, it's finding other ways that not only in just our books or one container, we can use that voice in other areas through podcasts, through the media, through exclusive interviews. And it kind of brings every one of those elements to full circle, which is how we create. It's how we connect through our voice, both written and verbal.
That is huge. And I love what you said before about how, and I hadn't even thought about how many times our identity shifts in our entrepreneurial journey. Like who I was when I first started in business, which was like, what, 2013, 2014? Is not the person that I am now. That is so interesting. And I can see as well, like you said, all that experience comes together, you know, in an expression and a voice. So because I know that voice activation is a unique aspect of the work that you do. So how does that connect even further when we're talking about PR, visibility opportunities, things like how is it connecting there? And how would you, well, because you did talk a little bit about voice activation, but would love a little bit more, like, what does that mean, you know, even more deeply for those that are listening?
Yeah, I've actually been asked this question in the past, and I did not have the answer to it. But as a very introspective person, I always go back to anything that I've said. It's like, okay, how can I find the best answer to this if I'm asked it again? So I did not necessarily have a methodology for voice activation, but what I've learned and understood of what voice activation represents for me and how I pour that outwards to my clients is this process of ideation. So with the Conscious Publicist, I've created this methodology called ideation to transformation. So it's four phases. It's starting with an ideation process, going to a creation process, then implementation, and then transformation is all the goodies that come after implementing the first three phases. But voice activation and understanding the self-mastery and even the conscious voice part of it is basically sitting and working with me through an ideation process where we extract information from their purpose, why they were called to create, why they were called to become a writer, or ultimately what even just led them into wanting to get visible. There's usually an experience or a conversation that was had as to why somebody feels that becoming visible and showing up online or even in person is an avenue or a journey for them. So I extract all of that through an ideation process, which ultimately filters into what their main message and what their thought leadership method would look like before moving into the other phases of that methodology working with TCP.
Gotcha. And in particular, then that, when I hear that, I automatically think of stories.
Yep.
I would imagine in that process, there's so many stories that come about, and that actually becomes even more gold that's sort of pouring out of the person that really brings people to the experience they were going through. Like they actually can feel into those things through the and then therefore be connected to the deeper message or whatever's behind it. So talk a little bit about storytelling as well. Like, I know that that's like a huge component in six, you know, across the board when we're talking about relation, PR and media and all those things.
Yeah, storytelling really is, I think, part of everybody's journey. If you get on a new discovery call, you're usually telling a story. If you're asked, oh, what led you into starting this business or what led you starting in this podcast or this social media channel? When we're asked that question, you usually have a story behind it. And so storytelling really is at the epitome of PR and media relations, at least from my perspective, which also ties into conscious storytelling. And conscious storytelling can go in a number of different levels, but it's utilizing the story to serve and impact the audience, the reader, and for them to soak up the wisdom or the lessons or the reminders that they needed to basically attract through that storytelling as well, or that story as well. It's kind of what I feel conscious storytelling is it's serving something greater than just showing up on a podcast and having a conversation. It's to impact the listener at the end of the day so that way they can take the wisdom from it and then pour outwards. I always say that we are all ripple effects for one another. And when you just drop one single droplet into a lake, you have the rings. Well, we have the impact and the beautiful opportunity to impact those around us. And that is what I feel storytelling can do on the smallest scale, but then also the largest scale.
Absolutely. Story is powerful. It brings you right in to the story and connecting with the person in such a deep way.
Exactly. It's building relatability with one another.
Can you talk a little bit more, because I kind of debated between a couple different directions to go with that, but I want to lean into a little bit of strategy and just like practical ideas that the listeners can take. When it comes to standing out, right, and doing it authentically with the intention to make an impact, right, it's a competitive landscape. If you have a book on leadership, like so many of them, talk a little bit about, yeah, like how, what strategies, like what things an author can do that's going to help them stand out more.
I think just overall strategies, because I think everybody's potential is different and everybody's experiences and backgrounds, although they can have a lot of similarities, they are vastly different. So if I was to think of one ultimate strategy for somebody to stand out, especially in the media landscape, is to think about the unorthodox things that others have not shared in the media. So when we're thinking about headers or even angles or news stories, I always challenge what's being talked about or what's trending and to think about how you can, I don't know what a good terminology would be, but kind of go against the noise. Let me know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's almost like thinking about the unorthodox or never done before ideas and strategies to kind of challenge what's been done with what hasn't been done. And I ultimately think that that's also where the term trailblazer comes from. I don't necessarily always use that in messages to attract, you know, clients or attract others to identify this work as that. But ultimately, when you are trying to make a difference, you have to think about something that hasn't been done before, because that's how you trailblaze.
Right.
You're not going to be able to trailblaze by following the same strategies as someone else. And all those trailblazers never followed strategies of others. So it's finding a nice balance between maybe using other strategies as foundation, but then building on them and finding what works best for you and what ultimately is going to change what it is that you're setting out to change.
Exactly.
That might have been a little too inspirational.
No, it totally makes sense. And that they're very attention grabbing. Like, that's the thing, is it's like, if you're looking to stand out, the standout means that if one person looks this way, other people look that way too, right? There's an attention grabber that is present, especially when you're coming up against the norm. Like, people just appreciate drama. I know I do sometimes. So I will turn my head and look.
Your way.
Yeah. And I really feel like when it comes to implementing certain strategy, there's directions that people take that maybe aren't in their best interest, or maybe they're making some mistakes and not. Like, what are some of the common mistakes that you see that authors are making, and, you know, how they can circumvent or prevent it in the future?
I wouldn't say that this is necessarily a mistake that authors make, but there is this familiarity of what I think PR and media relations or visibility is, especially from older ways of doing PR. And the best way, just to call it out, the notion that people think that PR is buying an advertisement to say that they've been featured in X publication. And in reality, PR and true visibility strategy is not bypassing the process of what it takes to attract true visibility and authority through the strategies that you're implementing when it comes to PR and media. If you were to bypass and buy a placement in a publication or buy a spot on a media platform, that's almost more so aligned with advertising. That's not the true model of what PR and media relations is. PR and media relations truly is a long-term strategy. It's not something that you'd be able just to master in a month or two. And it should never be perceived that way as well, because when you're making connections and really building impact through the stories that you're putting out into the world, especially through the media, it's something that should be nurtured, you know, every single week, every single month, if not every single day. And those opportunities will just evolve over time if you do nurture that process. Now, you can filter in advertising into that process as well. But when we're really wanting to make a shift through our story, it needs to be nurtured as such. It's not something that you can just say, oh, I've basically bought a spot here, and thanks to publication for featuring me. Well, of course they featured you. You paid to be featured. Versus true authority building is, it's nurturing the story, putting it out there for some publications. And if they really see value and insight from that story, then it's on their insight that they're then furthering that along. And that is true authority and credibility, is because now you've entered into a partnership with that publication because they see the value and the work that you've put into that. And then you're building a holistic relationship to put that story out into the world. That was a very long way of getting that across, but there's some steps.
No, it's super helpful, because I've often questioned the credibility and validity of certain recognition if you had to pay for it. And there's strategies where that totally makes sense and it's a good decision, it's a good idea. I've never really gravitated towards those, and the ones that I have done that with didn't really do very much in terms of what you think about or imagine when you're working a PR or any group or any service that's helping you, right? There's an image of what that means. And so I would love to get your thoughts on that too, because there's so many, like, I guess what are called like pay to play opportunities out there when it comes to PR, but then it is a different relationship with the publication. If they sought you out or saw some alignment and decided to feed you, like, that's totally different.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay however much it is so that way I can be, you know, with this accolade or this recognition.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not knocking pay to play opportunity by any means with that. It's almost just using discernment, which, what do you think is going to be the most influential or most valuable for your time and your dollar? Because those both are very valuable.
Yes.
But then also honoring that just this pay to play opportunity is not going to be the end all be all, your bigger break moment. There's still work and still showing up that you have to do to create a long term strategy with consistently nurturing an audience that you're looking to build. So it's almost, I would recommend finding a balance between the two and just understanding that while there may on a surface level be some intersection between the two, they still are vastly different. But I always recommend using discernment. Even with my clients, we've come across pay-to-play opportunities just from my outreach. Because I, and, you know, as a publicist or a PR agency, we still never are able to tell if what's a pay-to-play initially in the outreach or what is more organic. And I always sit down with the client, you know, thinking about, hey, here's return on investment. Here's the investment itself. Here's what you get. Let me know if it's something you want to pursue. If not, we can just go back into earned media and focused on that. Oh, all is well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so interesting. I think that, you know, there's a number of authors who are listening that have had some experience in PR, some that desire to have that sort of support, and then some who maybe have tried PR and had good experience or did not have good experience. I'm curious about what is it when someone's considering, you know, having a professional like you as a part of their team for support, what things should they be looking for, you know, in a partner that's going in that way?
My first part to that question is not going to be expected. Leaning back into the relationship part of it, I think ultimately, before you even make a first connection with a potential publicist or potential PR agency, is really take your time to do your due diligence. See what they post on social media. See how they like position themselves on their website. You can get a natural connection on if that person aligns with you from an integrity standpoint, with your values, with your morals, with your ethics. And if there is alignment, then take the initiatives to then connect with them over a discovery call. And then the next phase from that is I ultimately think personalities need to fit. And yes, you're not always going to know if you vibe or, you know, there's this strong connection. But at the end of the day, we are very intuitive people. And I think you can, from both of those perspectives, get a bigger understanding on if that person's going to be a relationship fit for you. Mm-hmm. Taking strategy out of the equation, taking the accolades, what they've been able to get their clients featured in. At the end of the day, that is all very surface level metrics, but you'll really understand if somebody, your business and your dollar, you know, if they hold that close to their heart versus if it's kind of a money drive.
Those are definitely good.
Know that. Yeah. That fits
definitely
in.
Definitely good things to look for sure. And to, yeah, and just to be aware. Because I think about, let's say, painting the picture of, you know, thought leader, expert, author A, and author expert B. One has a publicist, like the conscious publicist, and one does not. What are the differences in the possibilities, you know, down the path for both of these people? Like, let's say someone is maybe doing it on their own, maybe when it comes to opportunities or visibility, whether being on someone else's podcast or doing their own, you know, book tour, things like that. I'm just like, what would you say the difference between this person and that person and their experience and their success and whatnot will look this way? What would you say?
So the first part to that is the differences between working with someone like the conscious publicist versus doing a more DIY approach to PR is because of the relationships and the process that has already been nurtured working with a publicist or a PR agencies, there might be some room for more connections and opportunities made immediately versus if you're starting out from scratch and starting to make connections, it might be more of a slower process. That does not make one or the other right or more expansive. Mm-hmm. It's just, it would take a little bit more time to nurture. But when we're thinking about a publicist or a PR agency, their whole business is structured around making relationships solely for the client and creating those opportunities. So with pre-existing relationships, there is an opportunity to introduce the client to those relationships to create some type of synergistic opportunity between the two. But as someone like the conscious publicist, I'm really creating a whole entire offer suite that basically can impact both of those people. DIY options that give them the resources, the assets to where they can have success managing their own PR. And really that education and the coaching that comes with that can be evergreen for years and years on end. Or if we're working with like a C-level executive or a larger organization, they do not have time, keyword there, necessarily to do their own PR, which is where a retained publicist or retained PR agency would really come into impact for them.
Yeah. When does it make sense? I think about the author journey and I think about all the components that go to it, from just writing the book to now the book is done. And there's all these different stages that really continue on forever and ever. If they're dedicated to this work and the thought leadership that they've pieced together, they're always going to be talking about that in some way, shape, or another. So when does it make sense in that stage of an author journey to work with a publicist?
I would say if we're referring to the author journey, it's meant that they have already created at least a first draft of a manuscript or have actually published their book. Whereas I would recommend, and again, this is just my perspective and how I would choose to work with that author, is when they've actually had the book published and it's ready to then use thought leadership, PR, and media as a way to bring awareness around them as an author, as well as their book as the call to action. You can always bring a publicist in if you already have a business and you're using a book just to further bring that message and the story and the evolution of that business into a book form. But if you're solely an author who has created a personal biography or talking about their own personal journey, I would always recommend doing it when you have the book that's ready to be put into the world, because then you can use that as an asset. You can send that to publications. You can send that to podcast hosts. They have an opportunity to then read it, which brings a way more dynamic connection to the conversation when you actually are brought into that interview. Mm. That's my two cents.
No, that is super helpful. And I think it just gives a lot of good insight for anyone in whatever stage or journey they're in to know when this, you know, particular aspect or support makes the most sense. So would love for you to also share about your podcast and what folks can look forward to going to check that out.
Yeah. So The Conscious Publicist, as I meant earlier in the chat, I really want to bring these three dynamic tones to it. Again, it's self-mastery, voice activation, and the conscious voice. Because the engagement in purple kind of took my attention. I'm kind of midway of a self-mastery series right now, but I plan on actually picking that up in the next week or two. And currently, if you dive into the podcast now, you'll get, you know, really good insight into the world of PR from a thought leadership perspective, but just a human being who wants to use your experiences as a way to build bigger relationships and better relationships with people. I truly feel more so interwoven to the message so far. But then I'm transpiring into these mini series. So self-mastery, voice activation, and the conscious voice, just giving bigger insight into what those represent and what those mean for me. But my ticket here with the podcast, once I open up guest interviews, is I want to do a quick little overview about what those pillars represent and then ask the leader or ask the person that I bring into the podcast interview with me what their representation of those means to them. I did this LinkedIn series a couple of years ago where I asked each of my guests, what does it mean to you to own your unique conscious voice? And there were about 35 unique responses that I received from 35 different people that I interviewed, but they all represented at the end of the day the same tone of relationships and building bigger connections with people. And if it was not for that mini series of asking that one specific question, which represented the conscious voice, I don't think I would even have this clear direction of what to implement with my own podcast, because again, it leads into relationships and just the human connection. So that's where I'm at. It's a very slow podcast. You know, they talk about, you read about strategies about a podcast, doing it weekly. I try not to fall into that urgency with it because, again, being a very introspective person, I have to create through introspected, and I have to create when I really, really connected to the materials. The makes me show up in these different experiences that I get to bring back to the podcast. So some experiences haven't been had yet to bring over to me.
Yeah. That's the way to go. You're sharing things and experiences as they're happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that. But I want to also acknowledge just what you're creating in this industry and this space for authors and people who really have something beautiful and transformative to share. And it's folks like you and the way that you go about it that makes, I don't know, that work more expansive and takes it to another level. So I acknowledge that and just how much heart and soul and just authenticity you bring to the process. It's amazing. So highly recommend those who are listening to connect with Ashley, check out her podcast as well. So where's the best place that folks can connect with you and reach out? And any last parting words of advice that you have too, feel free to share that as well.
I'd say the best place to connect with me is theconsciouspublicist.com. The website is, I think, one of the best channels that I think anybody can have because it is a centralized place to find anything that you need. So I always try to direct people to the website. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn at The Conscious Publicist. And if you go to the website, you can also find the page for The Conscious Publicist podcast in all of the places that it's streamed. And my little takeaway, leaning into the conscious voice and voice activation, there is no right or wrong way to start showing up online. Find some connections, find some mentors, find some community members that you really align with, and lead with connection. And you never know the holistic opportunities that you can create from, again, just solely connecting with one another.
Absolutely. I love that. That's what this is about. So this work is about. So Ashley, thanks again for being on the podcast. Again, those who are listening, I highly recommend connecting with Ashley and just learning more from her. As you can hear, it's not just, you know, the publicist things that she talks about. It goes into so many other areas that really connect to your soul. So thank you for that. And thanks for being here, Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me. I'd love.
And we'll see you all soon next time. All right, that concludes another episode of The Author's Leverage, and I trust you're leaving today's conversation inspired and equipped to see your book as a source for so many possibilities. Before we part ways, I want to remind you to download your copy of the ebook and its digital companion workbook, 5 Ways to Get More Bang for Your Book. Again, it's a roadmap that's going to be useful to help you unlock the full potential of your book. Find it on our website, connect with us on social media, subscribe to the podcast, and share it along with a fellow author. Until next time, remember that your words have the power to change lives. So keep innovating, keep leveraging, and keep making an extraordinary impact. We'll see you next time.